We get it. So let's read that this morning, Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 27, and we'll read through verse 36 today. Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish others would do to you, also do to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, also what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the exact same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Again, maybe this sounds familiar because it's an exact pickup of last week, the Beatitudes and the woe to our enemies as well. But this idea of loving those that are the hardest to love, it's not an easy thing to do. If it were really easy, we wouldn't have to hear about it over and over in Scripture. But loving those who are the hardest to love, and we might be asking ourselves, well, how do we even do this? Because again, it's not natural for us to do. We are naturally defensive. We are naturally want to make sure our wrongs are righted. But Jesus answers in these verses how we are to do this, how we are to love those who are the hardest to love. We are to do good to them, we are to bless them, and we are to pray for them. And again, the hardest to love, your enemies. This is not the natural way to do things. This is not even how society tells us to interact. But as you'll see, and hopefully you've picked up on, Jesus doesn't like to teach things in the way that society says we should do them. There's the obedient way, and there's the world's way. So do you see what this means? Do good to them, bless them, and pray for them. So what this means is that if we're not doing good to someone, if we're not blessing them, if we're not praying for the very people that sometimes make us the most upset and angry, what that means is we're not loving them the way that the Bible says to love them. And if we're not being obedient, we're being disobedient. You see, there's two options when it comes to this. Now, he's not asking us to have those warm, fuzzy feelings of love and care that we have for those that we're closest to, but he's asking us to be respectful to everyone and show them love even if they don't deserve it. And if you're wondering how we're supposed to love people that don't deserve it, we really have to look no further than our own lives and our relationship with God, because I hate to break it to you, but we don't deserve it either. Yet he chooses to love us anyway. If you're looking and saying, there's no way I can do that, how can I love someone who is not deserving of that? That's exactly what God could have done to you and to me. So there is no reason they are worthy of that. I choose not to love them. They are my enemies. But thankfully, our God doesn't operate that way. You see, the idea of speaking well to those who speak ill of us, again, is not an easy thing to do. But friends, if you've been paying attention at all during our study of Jesus' teachings, the point is clear. Following Christ and obeying Christ isn't easy. And if we feel that it is, then as we've kind of talked about on Wednesdays, that means we've created this comfortable version of our faith. But it doesn't mean we're being obedient. Following Christ isn't easy. It goes against the grain. It goes against our natural instincts and what we want to do. And so what that means is following Christ in an obedient manner is difficult. There is a cost, and we have to decide if it's a cost worth paying. If you remember, if you've been to our Wednesday night study, the very first week, which seems like a while ago now, the leader of our study, Pastor Francis Chan, said, "God did not call a single person in Scripture to a life of comfort and ease. Yet we try to convince ourselves that we are the exception, that he wants us to do so." You see, the fact of the matter is either we're loving people the way God has commanded us to and living in obedience, or we're not, and we're living in disobedience. So this is a call this morning to check our hearts. It's really easy to check someone else's heart, right? To look at the person sitting next to you and say, hey, you're not loving people the way that you should be. But God's not asking us to do that this morning. God's asking us to check our own hearts. Where does your heart stand this morning? Is it a heart of love and obedience to the commandments of God? Or is it a heart of conditional love and disobedience to him? In verses 29 and 30, we see the idea of not lashing out. I don't know about you, but that could be a difficult thing to do sometimes. The idea in these couple verses is really asking ourselves, what's more important? Being right and making our point, or loving people in the way that they deserve to be loved? You see, Jesus talks about being struck on a cheek and turning the other cheek, and he reveals a truth in this, because obviously if one is struck in the cheek, their first reaction is not to turn the other cheek and allow it to happen again. But Jesus makes this point that following Jesus obediently often means allowing certain evils to be committed against us. Again, because what's more important, being right or loving in obedience? The natural response is to defend ourselves, to get even, maybe even to get ahead. But like so many of Jesus' teachings, he's asking us to go against our natural response. Now note that this never means that that Jesus was saying that evil should not be resisted, because the fact of the matter is Jesus' whole life and ministry was about resisting the evil of the world. But he wasn't doing so in a hateful, spiteful, lashing out way. He had a different way in mind. So we might be asking ourselves, so how in the world do we handle these situations? When this happens, when we are struck in the cheek, how are we to love people in the right way? And I'm really glad you asked that question, because it's exactly what Jesus gives us the answer to this morning. You see, when these things happen, and again, it may not be a physical or a literal strike in the cheek, but when somebody wrongs us, we can take command of the situation by responding to those very people with the sacrificial love that is shown to us, a giving love. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, Jordan, you don't know what this person said to me. You don't know what this person did to me. And that's correct. I don't know. And you may also say that there's no way I'm going to do that because they don't deserve it. And if you're saying that, Jesus is saying that's exactly the point. So again, we're faced with this reality that if we're constantly lashing out and attacking people, whether it be verbally, whether it be what we post on social media, or how we gossip around the tables when we have food that is served, this is a behavior that's disobedient to what the Bible says, and we're not loving others in a Christ-like manner at all. Do we want to be obedient in these moments? That means a sacrificial love is required. And the very word sacrifice within the phrase sacrificial love implies that we have to give up something in order to follow in obedience. Are we willing to endure the cost to follow Christ obediently? It may not be the most comfortable. It may not be what we want to do or what we think that person deserves. But again, what is more important? Getting right, making your point, or obeying God's command to love others in a sacrificial way? Scripture here uses an example of the tunic. He says, for he who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Again, for us, we kind of have to jump back into their culture and their context. But what this means is under the Mosaic law, the outer cloak was your property. So if your cloak was removed or stolen from you because it was your property, you could take legal action against the very person that stole the cloak off your back. And that would be how we would naturally want to handle things, right? Something was stolen from us, so we are going to take legal action to make sure that that wrong is righted. But Jesus' response is far different. Because notice how Jesus says to handle the situation. For someone takes away your cloak, it doesn't say, go to the courts and make sure he pays for what he's done. It says, give him your tunic as well. Jesus is saying, if this happens to you, if someone wrongs you, instead of lashing out, instead of attacking, instead of taking legal action, like we would all want to do, give them more. Going back to what was said at the beginning of this section, what is more important? Is it more important to be defensive, to make a point, to allow ourselves to feel better about the situation by getting back, getting even? Or do we care more about being obedient and loving in a way that obeys and honors the Lord? You see, the fact of the matter is, guys, if being right and making our point is only accompanied through judgment and anger, is our pride of being right so worth it that we're willing to forfeit being obedient and loving to others in a way that we were loved, in a way that we wish to be loved? See, it's real easy to lash out. It's real easy to get angry. It's real easy to want to right a wrong that is done to us. What's not easy is putting our pride to the side, is tapping into the sacrificial love of Jesus, is realizing that the priority in that moment should not be to make that person feel bad, to lash out, to get right. That is a prime opportunity to show and witness the love of Jesus on display. Yet so often, believers especially, churches especially, are the worst at this because they and we get defensive in these moments. But if we see it as an opportunity to witness, if we see it as an opportunity to show the love of Jesus, the unconditional love, the sacrificial love that is the cost to follow Jesus, maybe us being wronged is less about us and is more about an opportunity to put Jesus on display for someone who very clearly needs it. But do you catch the point there? What that means is in those situations, it's not about me. And it's not about you. You see, if we want to live obedient, Christ-centered lives, that means everything is about Him. And even those opportunities when everything within us wants us to lash out, wants us to right the wrong that has been done, if we want to live in Christ-like obedience, we can see these instances as an opportunity to show the love of Jesus to someone in need. If you look at verse 31, depending on your translation, it may look very familiar, but maybe you've heard, like me, growing up, the golden rule a lot, as it's referred to. Maybe you're fortunate enough to have some random song about the golden rule stuck in your head as well, but maybe that's just me. I'm not sure. I'm not going to sing it for you, but you can ask me later. But we all want to be given some slack and some grace, don't we? When we don't quite get things right, when we mess it up, we always wish that others would take it easy on us, right? We're not perfect. I mess it up. I don't always get it right. Yet the very moment somebody wrongs us, all of a sudden that grace and that slack goes out the window. Do you see the disconnect there? That's not quite how this works. So often we're not willing to give the same grace that we want from others when they so need it. How dare we as believers sit in the pews on a Sunday morning, sing praises to God for forgiving our sins, for loving us when we don't deserve it, for absolving us of all our wrongdoing. And then we leave from that very place, that very building, and we spend the entire week attacking others who have done wrong. Maybe the fast food worker gets our order wrong, and we lash out, and then we take to social media or to whoever will listen and talk about how awful our service was or how terrible kids are these days and how they can't just do their jobs. Do you see the disconnect? That's really rough after we spend time praising the Lord for forgiving us, for giving us grace when we don't deserve it, for absolving us from all wrongdoing, and then the very moment we're inconvenienced in our life, all of a sudden we lash out. There's a subtle reminder in there, too, that we still represent Jesus when we log on to Facebook. We still represent Jesus when we interact with our friends playing cards or grabbing food together and we are gossiping about how terrible somebody might be. We still represent Jesus in those moments. Again, it's not about us. It shouldn't be about us. But we love to make it about us, don't we? We love for people to realize that we've been inconvenienced and it's somebody else's fault that we've been inconvenienced. Yet the very moment we might be the reason for that inconvenience, we ask for grace. We ask for mercy. We ask that they give us a break, yet here we are doing the very opposite. You see, the fact of the matter is we can all sit in pews and we can all say amen and convince ourselves that we love in this type of way. We can read this and say, yeah, I do that. I want to love like Jesus. But the real barometer for this is taking inventory of our heart and our actions towards other people. You see, if we really truly believe this, if we really truly take this to heart, then it will spill over into our actions. Perhaps it's even worth asking a trusted Christ-like friend if they see that we're loving people the way that we should love. You know, it's really easy to say, you know, if I'm in the wrong, God will tell me. And I don't need others to give me constructive criticism. But the fact of the matter is, if we're so prideful in our lives that we aren't willing to hear from other people, then we're not going to allow this to take place anyway. I can only speak for myself, but maybe we need a reminder about that simple rule that we learned so long ago. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Again, that's Jesus' response to this idea of loving people that are hard to love, of turning the other cheek. How on earth do we do that? Jesus says, I'm glad you asked, and he gives us that golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Do to others the way you would have them do unto you. Again, it's really easy to want that grace and that slack and that forgiveness from other people, but what's not easy is to give that to those who don't deserve it. May we be honest with ourselves and take an inventory in our own lives and look and see how our hearts and our actions towards other people are. Are we loving people in an obedient manner, the way that Christ wants us to love? And the first step of that is, how do we treat other people? In this last section, verses 32 through 36, God shows us the pattern of love that we should follow. And I love when Jesus gets a little sassy and sarcastic in Scripture. It's some of my favorite stuff, naturally, because I do that as well. But we see in this moment that Jesus talks about it's really easy to love people that love you back, right? We love to approach Jesus and say, hey, but look at all these people I am loving, right? Yeah, sure, I struggle with loving some of these people, but look at all the people that I am loving. And Jesus looks at us and basically says, oh yeah, all those people that act exactly like you, all those people that think exactly like you, and all those people that want exactly what you want, congrats for that, but everybody does that. Jesus isn't asking us to love in a way that's similar to everybody else, but he's asking us to love in a way that's so much more. You see, he mentions in these verses, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that? Because sinners love those who love them. We like to say that a lot. Well, God, look at who I'm loving. We put ourselves on par with every other person. And if you do good to those who do good to you, congratulations, but everybody does that. Verse 34, if you lend to those from whom you know and expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Again, everybody does that. You see, if we do it that way and we say, you know, I do love some people and I'm doing pretty good at it, that's not an imitation of Jesus. That's just simply being a person. If we only respect people that show the same respect to us, that's not loving like Jesus. That's loving like everybody else. Jesus isn't calling us to be like everybody else. He's asking us to step out of our comfort zones. He's asking us to be obedient. He's asking us to love in a way that would blow everybody else away because it's such a different type of love than they're used to. Loving those that love you back doesn't make you super spiritual or Christ-like. It puts you on par with every other person in this world. What marks obedience in a believer is how they show love to those who are hardest to love. And it says here in the scriptures, if we do this, we love like the Son of the Most High. And obviously Jesus referring to himself in this moment. If you love in this way, you love like me. And if you love like me, then you're obeying the commands of God. You see, if we're truly imitating the love of God, that means loving our enemies and having a distinct difference in the way that we love people over the way others love people. A true barometer for how our relationship is with the Lord is an inward look at how we treat other people. So what this means is, if you're known as somebody that doesn't like anybody, or that's normally a mean person that's difficult to talk to, that's not exhibiting Christ-like love, it's disobedience. If you're known as somebody that can't be talked to because you take the idea that only God can correct me, and he's not going to use anybody else to correct me because God and I are very tight, that's not Christ-like love, that's disobedience. If you're known as someone who people can't go to with things that they're dealing with because they know that everyone else will find out if they do, or they're going to be invalidated because of reasons like their age or their gender or whatever it may be, that's not Christ-like love, that's disobedience. You see, friends, we have two options on how we choose to show love to others in our life. There's an option that says, I'll respect them if they respect me, I'll love them if they deserve it, and that's a love like everybody else. Or there's a sacrificial love that loves when it's not deserved. A love that takes us out of our comfort zones and says, even those who don't agree with me or like me still deserve the same kind of love and grace. And that is a Christ-like love. You see, there's conditional love or there's Christ-like love. The two cannot coexist. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as a person that exhibits Christ-like love. Someone that knows, regardless of their age or marital status or gender or issue, that they will be loved as a person, an image bearer of God, someone that God loved so much that he sent his son to die for. I want someone to love me the way that Christ loved me, with undeserving grace, without conditions, without shame. You see, the truest example of unconditional love in our lives is actually summarized in Scripture. And it says, God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe one of the reasons we find it so difficult to show this type of unconditional love is because we haven't actually experienced it for ourselves in the first place. See, the reality is there's a lot of people that come into church buildings and that sit in the same pew every single week, sometimes multiple times a week, but they never encounter Jesus, and they never encounter that type of unconditional love. He loves us in a way that nobody ever could. You see, people are always going to let us down. People are always going to fail us, but Jesus never will. So if you're here this morning and you're struggling with the idea of loving people this way, perhaps we need to take an honest look and see if Jesus has transformed our hearts in the way that we love people. I don't care how long you've been sitting in these pews. I don't care how long you've been attending any church. It's okay to admit that maybe you haven't had that encounter with Jesus, because there's no better time than right now. Some of the most powerful testimonies I've ever heard in people's lives are people who sat in church for decades and decades and decades and realized, I've been checking off the Jesus box for a long time and he's never transformed my life. And at 60, 70, 80, I've seen 90-year-olds give their lives to the Lord at that moment, realizing that though they've attended the church for 40 years, they haven't been transformed by the very Jesus they were approaching that whole time. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're struggling with the idea of loving people this way. So perhaps we need to take an honest look at the inside. There's no better time than right now to say, you know what, maybe I need to experience that type of love for the first time. But maybe he has, and maybe it's still difficult. And if that's the case, that's okay, because that means you're human like everybody else, that you're not going to get it right. And hopefully this morning can serve as a reminder for that. But you and I have asked, have pleaded to the Lord for that type of love and that type of forgiveness. We talked about last Wednesday, maybe your relationship with your heavenly father hasn't been the greatest, or with your earthly father hasn't been the greatest, and because of that, it's affected your relationship with your earthly father. But the fact of the matter is, he wants a relationship with you. It's not just about coming and sitting in the pews and having perfect attendance for a year or a quarter or whatever it is. It's about a relationship with the Son that's most high. It's about acknowledging that God demonstrated this kind of unconditional love, the sacrificial love, this undeserved love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, the fact of the matter is none of us can escape this reality. And what that also means is none of us love in the way that we should. And none of us love in the way that we should because of the sin in our lives. Other people are going to fail us. Even those closest to us are not always going to love us the way that we should, but that's because they're sinful, messed up, and broken people like you and like me. But how dare we sit there and ask God for forgiveness in our hearts and in our lives when we mess up, yet when somebody does it to us, we lash out in anger and we tell them how terrible they are and how much better they need to be. Yet when it happens to us, we ask God to look the other way, to turn the other cheek. May we be a people of Christ-like love. May we be a church that exhibits the love of God as it's meant to be shown. Church, you want to see a revival? You want to see lives change for Jesus? We first need to see a revival in our hearts and a revival in the way that we love people. And not just the people sitting next to you this morning. Not just the people in here this morning. If we want to see true revival take place, it first has to take place in our hearts. And we can want all of those things to take place, but if our heart doesn't love people, it's going to be really hard to reach people. You see, the church is all about loving people and showing this type of unconditional love. It's the hospital for the sick. May our church be an overflow of that type of love. May we and our lives be an overflow of that type of love. It's really easy to love our friends. It's really easy to love those who act like us, who think like us, who vote the same way we do. What's not easy is loving those that are a little bit more difficult to love. But the fact of the matter is, if that was the case, Jesus would have never wanted to love us because of how different we are from him, how often we do him wrong. Some of the most difficult people to forgive and to love these days are the people that continually get it wrong, that continually wrong us, continually mess up, continually do things that we don't want them to do. And it's so hard to forgive people like that, yet we fail to realize that that is us in our relationship with God. We are the ones that continually mess it up. We're the ones that continually get it wrong. And yet time after time after time, we come to God and we say, God, I know I messed up again. That very thing you told me not to do, I did it again. And I messed up again. And we expect that same kind of grace. And we know that he's going to give it to us because he's a gracious, loving, heavenly Father. Yet we are so unwilling to do so to others. May we take an honest inventory of our hearts, of our lives, of our actions, and may we ask God if we are loving people in an obedient Christ-like way, or if it's simply a love that looks just like everybody else. Maybe God's going to send somebody to you to show you that you're not loving in a Christ-like way, and if that's the case, that's okay if they do it in love and say, hey, you were really mean to that poor cashier that didn't quite get it right. Was that a good representation of Christ-like love? Maybe they didn't get your order right, but is that the end of the world? Because there's an opportunity to show the love of Jesus. Maybe they said something about you that you can never forgive. We turn our back on God so often, and he chooses to forgive us. Obviously, he is perfect and without blemish, and it comes as second nature to him. But again, a sacrificial love. Following Jesus isn't easy. Following Jesus obediently cost something. If it was so easy, everybody would be doing it. But there's a cost, and that cost is often our comfort. It's often the way that we perceive things, and it's loving people that, if up to our own devices, we would want nothing to do with. But if a church becomes a place where we say, I want nothing to do with them, I don't want them to come in and mess up what we're doing, that's not a church that's loving people in an obedient way. And I don't want to become a church that doesn't love people in an obedient way. I want to be a church and a body of believers that loves people in an obedient way, in a sacrificial way, that knows the cost of following Christ obediently and says, I don't care what the cost is, I want to follow him. May we do to others as we would have them do to us this week. May we turn the other cheek when we're wronged. May we, when that takes place, even offer up our tunic. Not to say, I told you so, not to get even, not to get ahead, but to simply say, you know what? I see this as an opportunity to show the love and the grace and the forgiveness that has been shown to me. This isn't about me. This isn't about you. But every opportunity, every interaction that we have can be an opportunity for him if we're willing to see it that way. May we be a people, a church of Christ-like, obedient love. May we count the cost and say, that is what I want to do because that is obedient. Do to others as you would have them do to you. A simple yet profound reminder this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to look into your word, to realize that loving people is actually one of the most difficult things you've asked us to do in your scripture. But we thank you that, as we read, you demonstrated your love for us, and that while we were still sinners, you sent your Son to pay a payment that we never could. Father, may we look into our lives and may we ask ourselves if we're loving our enemies the way that you have asked us to, because the fact is, we now know the truth. We know what you have asked of us, and because of that, there is no excuse for going out and not loving our enemies. We can either love in an unconditional way, we can love in a Christ-like sacrificial way, and that way is obedient to you, or we can continue doing it the way we always have, loving people just like everybody else loves people. But we know that following your Son Jesus isn't about just doing it like everybody else. It's about showing them the way to Jesus. Father, if we are honest with ourselves and we see moments in our lives where we are not loving others the way that you would ask us to, may we repent from that. May we turn away from that. If we have a reputation of being mean and ugly and not liking people and being very defensive and attacking people and lashing out with our words, may we repent of that and turn from that. If we have a reputation as a church of not being welcoming and of turning away certain people because we want nothing to do with that, may we repent of that. Father, I've heard many times in these walls that we want to see revival within this church, but I'm asking you that we see revival in our hearts. May we see a revival in our hearts in the way that we see people, treat people, and love people. If we truly want to see a revival at Bellevue, may we see a revival of the hearts of Bellevue first. Father, you tell us very clearly to do to others as we would have them do to us. You make it very clear, very simple, but it's so hard to do. So please give us the strength. Allow us the humility to understand that we're not going to get it right, but to ask for forgiveness where needed. May we go from here, Father, and may we be obedient, loving people the way that you've asked us to love, even those that are the hard ones to love, because they are the ones who need to see an example of Jesus the most. And who better than us who sit here every Sunday and proclaim through song and through word that we want to be that people. You give us opportunity day after day, week after week to do so. May we take advantage of those opportunities this week. Not make it about us, but point people to Jesus no matter the circumstance. Father, we love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.